Morning. Today's Daf Pesachim Mem Hey. We are in Mem Dal Amud Beis. 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're in the middle of a discussion. Yesterday we dealt with 3 major concepts as it relates to Tarovus mixtures. One, we talked about Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser. Number 2, we talked about eating a Kazayis Bechdei Echilas Pras. Number 3, we spoke about the idea of Tam Ke'ikar. Those are 3 major concepts as it relates to the principles of Tarovus. Let's just quickly recap the 3 basic ideas. 1, Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser is the idea that I'm eating Isser, but just simply not the requisite amount. Generally speaking, by Achili, you have to eat a Kazayis in order to have any kind of liability. In order for it to be an Isser Torah, it would be prohibited even less than a Kazayis. This is Gemara in Yuma. Talks about whether or not Chatzi Shear is Asur in a Torah. It's Machlokas Amarayim, but let's assume, like Rav Yochanan, that Chatzi Shear is Asur in a Torah. So even less than a Kazayis, one is going to violate the Torah. Nevertheless, in order to bring about a punishment of Malkus, so you have to have a Kazayis. So Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser is the novel idea, very novel idea, that if, let's say, you have a half a Kazayis of Isser and a half a Kazayis of Heter, and you eat the two of them at the same time. According to Rashi, they don't have to be mixed together. They can even be independent of one another. But eat them at the same time, the amount of Heter is going to supplement the amount of Isser in order to bring about a liability in Malkus. That's the idea of Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser. The idea of Kazayis Bechdei Echilas Pras is that if the Isser is mixed in together with the Heter, and I'm eating the entirety of it, as long as I eat a Kazayis of the Isser itself, within the time frame of the amount of time that it would take to eat a half of a meal, which is the volume of 4 eggs, so as long as I'm eating a Kazayis within that time frame, so one is going to have with it the liability of eating the full Isser, even though it was not eaten at the same time. That amount of time, the Kedei Achilas Pras, is going to be enough of a time frame where it's considered that I ate the Kazayis at one time. That is Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras. And finally, the last idea, which is Tam Ke'ikar. Tam Ke'ikar is that if a taste of one food goes into the other food, so that other food, which itself is Heter, which is infused with the taste of the food, which is Isser, so eating the Heter food now is tantamount to eating the Isser itself. Ta'am, the taste is ki'ikar. It's like I'm eating the actual food of Isser as well. Rashi's description yesterday of this idea, to striking Rashi, strong language by Rashi, is that the taste that now colonizes the new food is going to make that food is ki'ikaro umamasha. It's like you're eating mamashas of the actual Isser itself. Okay, these 3 concepts that we came up with yesterday. So right now we're going to be focusing on the 1st and 3rd concept, and Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras we're not going to be focusing on. Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras does not have a single source in the Torah. It's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. So that is going to be taken away from the discussion for now. And we're just focusing on Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser and Tam Ke'ikar. Now, as far as Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser is concerned, based on the Shita of Rav Yochanan, so it's learned from the Pasuk of Nazir, Mishras Anavim Lo Yishteh. If you take bread, soak it in wine, and you eat it, you're going to be liable. That's the pasuk in the Torah. And according to Rav Yochanan, the Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that in fact is the source of Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser. Where does the Rabbi Akiva learn out Tam Ke'ikar? He learns out Tam Ke'ikar from Gi'ulei Nachrim. That was the end of yesterday's daf. The fact that after going to Midyan, we took the pots home and we had a kasha of the pots. The Torah's instructions were to kasha the pot to remove the taste that's embedded within the walls of the pot. So that's the idea of Tam Ke'ikar, and that's where, according to Rabbi Akiva, we learn out the principle of Tam Ke'ikar. Good. That's all according to Shitas Rabbi Akiva. What about the Shita of the Chachamim? Shita of the Chachamim is that Tam Ke'ikar is learned out from Mishras Anavim Lo Yishteh, that the Gemara tells us on the bottom of Mem Dal and Amud Aleph in yesterday's Daf. So Tam Ke'ikar is learned out from the Psukim of Nazir. What about Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser? So the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim don't believe that Hetzem Mitzaref Le'Isser is being generated from that pasuk in Nazir. Good. What else did we point out yesterday? It's a lot to keep straight. I recognize that. But all this is going to be going into today's daf. So additional to all that, we pointed out that according to the Shita of the Chachamim, Tam Ke'ikar, so how do I know that it applies to all Isurim in the Torah? So let's call it a Kavachomer. Gemara doesn't exactly express it like a Kavachomer, but it's a Kavachomer. And Mem Dal Amud Beis, the top of yesterday's Amud Beis, so the Gemara uses an argument that if Tam Kikr applies to Nazir, which is a lighter Isser, right, from three aspects is the Isser of grape products to a Nazir, a lighter Isser, so for sure it's going to apply to Isurim that are more strenuous, that are more strict. Isser's like Kalayim, Isurim like Arla. So anyway, so it's like a Kavachomer. That according to the Chachamim, we know the Tam Kikr applies to Kol HaTorah Kula. Okay, does the Chachamim, do the Chachamim at all apply the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser? At this point in time, we think the answer is no, because yesterday they used the Pasuk of Rabbi Akiva by Nazir for the principle of Tam Kikr. So presumably they don't subscribe to Heter Mitzarif L'Isser, as we're going to see in today's daf. That's not perfectly correct. So that's coming up in today's daf. With all that stated, let's now pick it up where we left off yesterday. Amale Rav Acha Bereid Rav Avila Rav Ashi Midrash Rabban Ishmael Rabbi Akiva. So let's take a play from the Chachamim's playbook and let's apply it to Rabbi Akiva. This is what the Gemara is suggesting. So Milo Amri Rabban Mishra Slitin Tam Kaker Mikara Tadan L'Chol Yisrim Shebetorah. So remember, in yesterday's daf, we said that according to the Chachamim, the pasuk of Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta is there to teach me the idea, the concept of Tam Kaker. Not only that we took the idea of Tam Kaker and we applied to Kol HaTorah Kula. That was the play that was used by the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, okay, so fine. We understand that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta is there to teach me the halacha of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser. But why don't we do the following? If for the Chachamim, the Tam Ke'ikr concept applies to Kol HaTorah Kula, and that's being generated from Nazir, so why don't we say the same conclusion as it relates to the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva? Why not, according to Rabbi Akiva, Heter Mitzarif L'Isser apply to Kol HaTorah Kula? Now, we know that's not true, because if you remember the beginning of yesterday's daf, we opened up with the statement of Rav Yochanan, who said that according to Rabbi Akiva, Heter Mitzarif L'Isser only applies to Nazir, and it doesn't apply to any other Isser. Now, if you remember in yesterday's daf, there was a little bit of back and forth on that particular point. But right now, the way Rav Yochanan presents it, according to Rabbi Akiva, it only applies to Nazir and to no other Isser. And so the Gemara's question right now is fantastic. Why not use the same maneuver that the Chachamim did in terms of extending the concept of Tam Kikr to Kol HaTorah Kula? Why don't we do the same thing with Rabbi Akiva, extend the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser to Kol HaTorah Kula from the pasuk of Mishras Anavim? That's the question of the Gemara. L'Rabbi Akiva Nami Mishras Lehetem Mitzarif L'Isser Mikana Tadan L'Chol Isurim Shebetorah Kula. Good. So that's the Gemara's question. Amar Leh. So the answer goes as follows. Now we are on the top of Mem Hamad Aleph Mishum Dahavi Nazir V'Chatash Niksuv Mabam Ke'echa Ve'ein Malamdim. So the Gemara says, because according to Rabbi Akiva, actually there are not one but two sources of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser. One is by Nazir and the other is by Chatas, by Karban Chatas. So, and now that the Torah has two sources, so here's the general rule that we say throughout Shas. If the Torah wants to create a precedent of Binyanav, so then the Torah need only tell me one time, and that would be sufficient. And that now creates the precedent for Kol HaTorah Kula, and then we're good. But once the Torah tells me now twice on two occasions, this idea that of a particular concept, of a particular halacha, so no longer is this going to be the precedent, but rather these are now the exceptions to the rule. This is Shnei Ksuvim Mabayim Ke'echad. It is curious that yesterday when Rav Yochanan rolled out Rabbi Akiva, so why didn't Rav Yochanan mention the second occasion? Meaning the answer is tremendous. At the very same time, the Gemara yesterday didn't mention the second source according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so admittedly that's a curiosity, but anyway, but the Gemara now points out that there are two sources of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser according to Rabbi Akiva, so that now these are no longer a precedent, this is no longer building a binyanah, but rather these are the yotzei min haklal, these are the exceptions. So let's introduce ourselves now to the two sources according to Rabbi Akiva. One is Nazir, that we already know. The other is Chatas, we haven't seen that yet. So the Gemara now goes over the two sources. Nazir Hadam Maran. So as far as Nazir is concerned, so go back to yesterday's daf. That was the opening of yesterday's daf. Now Chatas Maihi. Ditanya, the Gemara goes over the source of a Karmen Chatas. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Ditanya, Kol Asher Yigal Bivsara Yigadash. Anything that literally comes into contact with the Karmen Chatas is going to be sanctified. Now Yachol Afilu Lo Bala. That means that if I have another meat that gets that touches the Karmen Chatas, so that other meat now is going to be imbued with the Kedusha of the Karmen Chatas. Now, I might have thought that, let's say, there was no blia, there was no infusion. It was just contact. So Tamalam Bivsara Achiv La Bibasar. So Bivsara tells me that no, that it has to go internally, meaning that the taste of the chatzas has to go into the other carbon. Fine, meaning they have to be cooked together. Now Yikdash Lios Kamoa. And now Yikdash means that whatever I'm now cooking with the carbon chatzas will have the full status of the carbon chatzas. Shim psula hu tipasel, vim sherehi tocha kechamer shabah. If that which goes in now is disqualified, the whole thing becomes disqualified. If that which goes in has more kedusha, so then you're gonna treat it with whatever has more kedusha. Let me give an example of what we mean. So let's say, for example, the carbon chatas, which we know can only be eaten by zichrei kohuna, male kohanim, in the azara for the day that it's shechted and the following night. And let's put it side by side with it a carbon shlamim. Carbon shlamim can be eaten by anyone who's tahor in Yerushalayim for the day that it was shechted, the night after, and the next day as well. Let's say the two of them were cooked in the same pot. Mistake on purpose. Not clear whether or not there'd be any. Yeah, there would be hesitation. I'm sorry. There would be hesitation lichatchila to cook them in the same pot. But for whatever the case is, they were both cooked in the same pot. Now, the shlamim, prior to it being cooked with the carbon chatas, could have been eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim by anybody who was tahor for 2 days. Today, tonight, and tomorrow. But now that's cooked with the carbon chatas, and it's infused with the taste of the carbon chatas, or in this case, right, we're focusing more on heter and starf leser. The idea now that they are combined and together, so now the idea would be that you're going to have to treat it with all the chumrah of the carbon chatas. It can only be eaten today, it can only be eaten by zirchei kuhuna, it can only be eaten in the azara, etc., etc. Okay, so this is the idea that we're generating from the pasuk. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, we are having two sources of heter mitzarif leser, and that's why it cannot be used as a binyan av for kol haTorah kula, the principle of shnei ksuvim abayim ka'echad. Vira banan, back to the Gemara, continuing the Gemara. Now, according to the Chachamim Nami, nehavi naz v'chata shnei ksuvim abayim ka'echad ve'em alamdim. Now, for the Chachamim, now remember, for the Chachamim, we are shifting. We are moving now from Heter Mitzarif Lisser, and now we're moving to the topic of Tam Ke'ikar. And now the Gemara is going to ask the same question for the Chachamim. Isn't Tam Ke'ikar now being generated by two Psukim? Not one Pasuk, by two Psukim. Because one source of Tam Ke'ikar, according to the Chachamim, is Mishras HaNevim Lo Yishta, the Psukim by Nazir. Now we have what seems to be a second Pasuk for the Chachamim of Tam Ke'ikar, and that's the Karban Chatas. Now, I'm admitting over here it does get a little bit confusing because the Gemara seamlessly is moving from the Chata source from the principle of Heter Mitzarif Lisser to that of Tam Ke'ikar. But what the Gemara is just simply basing itself on is that if the Chachamim are taking the Pasuk of Nazir, and instead of learning Heter Mitzarif Lisser, learning Tam Ke'ikar, so we're going to be doing the same thing with the Chata source as well. That according to the Chachamim, it is being moved from Heter Mitzarif Lisser to Tam Ke'ikar. It's fine. So the Gemara says so, but now it comes out that according to the Chachamim, we have two sources, not one source. If in fact that's the case, so doesn't that present a problem? So the Gemara says, yeah, Amre Hanu Mitzur Tzrichi. So what the Chachamim will say is as follows. No, you have to understand. The fact that there are two sources, we need those two sources. Once we're going to make a case that there's a necessity for both of these sources, so no longer does it become the exceptions to the rule. I need both of the cases in order to construct the rule. So this is the idea of necessity. Rabbi Kiva, my tzricha. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, so what exactly is the tzrichusa? Let's explain this necessity. Look, if I only had the concept being rolled out by Karman Chatas, I would not be able to learn out chulin from Chatas because in general, chulin mikashin lo gamrinan. If I have a rule by Kachim, I could simply say that the rule only applies to Kachim and it does not apply to Chulin by Kachim. It just simply operates on a higher plane. And there are many more rules by Kachim than there are by Chulin. So we could just simply say that you're not learning out Chulin from Kachim. So Ela Lichvev Rechmana Benazir V'taisi Chatas V'tigmar Minei. So the Hakoli Surim Shabbatar Gagamar Minazir. So the Torah, but the Torah could write the concept by Nazir, learn out chatos from it, because when it comes to Kol Yisurim, all Yisurim could in fact be learned by Nazir. So, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, so by virtue of the fact that Heter Mitzarif Lisser is being taught both in Nazir and in chatos, so that means to say that it's a redundancy, because it could have just been introduced by Nazir, and that would have been it. That would have served as a source for everything. Nazir is chulin. Nazir is not kachim. So, by virtue of the fact now that we have an extra pasuk by kachim, so for Rabbi Akiva, and that now tells us that it's a redundancy, which means no longer is this the rule, but rather these are the exceptions. That's all according to Rabbi Akiva. Good. Now let's move back to the Chachamim. V'rabbanan amri lacha mitzach trichi. And as far as the Chachamim are concerned, both of these psukim are necessary. Why? Chatas lehetem mitzarf leiser. Ah, because according to the Chachamim, yes, we do have a source for carbon chatas, but a source for what? Now the Gemara is introducing us to the idea that according to the Chachamim, the carbon chatas is a source for hetem mitzarf leiser. Ah, now the chulin mikachem lo gamar. Now, obviously, that can translate over to chulin. So now, what we're learning today, which we didn't know yesterday, is according to the Chachamim, they agree to the concept of hetem mitzarf leiser, but only in the realm of kachim, not in the realm of chulin. Fine. So now, hetem mitzarf leiser is in fact a principle for kachim. That we learn now from the drushas of chatas that we were just introduced to at the top of our amud. And now mishras litein tam ke'ikar. Now, as far as mishras is concerned, the pasuk by nazir, that is there to teach us the halach of tam ke'ikar. And now, how many sources do I have for tam ke'ikar? Only one source for tam ke'ikar. And that, of course, is the source regarding nazir. Omikana ta'dan l'chol ha'Torah kula. And now that becomes the binyan of, that becomes the precedent for kol ha'Torah kula. V'Rabbi Akiva tarvayu le'etem mitzarf le'iser. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, meaning we're just going to now look at the same picture from Rabbi Akiva's perspective. From Rabbi Akiva's perspective, both Mishras and the Psukim regarding the Karban Chatas are there for the principle of Hetem Mitzarf Leiser. That is a redundancy. So now that's Shteik Suvim Abayim Ke'echad. And therefore that no longer can be serving as a Binyanav. Avalu Shteik Suvim Abayim Ke'echad V'chol Shteik Suvim Abayim Ke'echad Ein Malamdin. Okay, and that's it. I know we have a couple more lines before we get to the Mishnah, and that is it. That is now the Gemara's rollout of the principles of Hetem Mitzarf Leiser and the principles of Tam Ke'ikar, as viewed by Rabbi Akiva and by the Chachamim. And now we understand with this rollout, now we understand why. That Tam Ke'ikar, according to the Chachamim, is a binyanav for the rest of the Torah Kula. But as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, Hetem Mitzarf Leiser is only limited to Nazir and to no other area of halacha outside of the realm of kachim. Good. If we can just simply and quickly summarize now, where do we stand on Hetem Mitzarf Leiser and Tam Ke'ikar, both according to Rabbi Akiva and according to the Chachamim? Let's just quickly roll out the two positions and where they get their sources from. Let's start with Rabbi Akiva. So from Rabbi Akiva's standpoint, Hetem Mitzarf Leiser actually has two different sources in the Torah. The idea of Heter Mitzarf Leiser is, once again, the idea that if I eat Isser and Heter, neither of them have the requisite amount, but the two combined are going to supplement so that now I'm eating a shear. So Heter Mitzarf Leiser tells me that now you're going to be subject to Malkus for eating the combined amount. Good? And even if they're not mixed together, that's Rashi, as we saw in yesterday's daf. Good. So this is Heter Mitzarf Leiser for Rabbi Akiva. There are two sources for this. One is the Pasuk by Nazir, and two is the Pesukim by Karban Chatas. And since the Torah could have just mentioned it by Nazir, and that would have taught it to me by Kol HaTorah Kula, and then added an additional Pasuk by Chatas that tells me that these are Shnei Ksuvim, Habayim Ke'echad, Ein Malamdin, they do not be no longer are a Binyan Av, and so therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, this idea of Heter Mitzarf Leiser is only limited to Nazir and to Chatas. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn now Tam Ke'ikar? So that goes back to yesterday's daf. For yesterday's daf, Rabbi Akiva's Tam Ke'ikar is being generated by Giulei Nachrim, the clay Midjan. After having gone to battle with Midjan, the Torah tells us to kasher and expunge the taste that's embedded within the walls of the pot. That's Tam Ke'ikar according to Rabbi Akiva. And that does apply to Kol HaTorah Kula. Good. That is all how it lines up according to Rabbi Akiva. Now let's move over to the Chachamim, and let's now review the sources for the Chachamim. So as far as Tam Ke'ikar is concerned for the Chachamim, that's learned out from Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta. Why didn't the Chachamim learn it out from Gulei Nachriim? So go back to yesterday's daf. It basically comes down to the Chachamim view that Parsha as a Chiddush. We have the principle of Nosin Tam Levgam. Nosin Tam Levgam would not require me to kasher, yet the Torah wants me to kasher it. So that's a Chiddush. If you didn't understand what I just said, go back to yesterday's daf. Anyway, the according to the Chachamim, Tam Ke'ikar is being generated by Nazir. Now, that's the only source of Tam Ke'ikar according to the Chachamim. Therefore, it's a binyanav, and it applies to Kol HaTorah Kula. Now, do the Chachamim subscribe to Heter Mitzarif Leisur? Now the answer is, yesterday we said no, but today's answer is yes. It does. The Chachamim do subscribe to Heter Mitzarif Leisur, as we just learned out by the Karban Chatas. So within the Karban Chatas, we are introduced to Heter Mitzarif Leisur. That's the source of Heter Mitzarif Leisur, according to the Chachamim. Now, presumably, I'm not sure about this point, but presumably that would apply to all Kachim. I think so. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, but certainly it doesn't apply to any area of Chulin. Why? Because we don't learn out Chulin from Kachin. So according to the Chachamim, Heter Mitzarif Leisur is learned out from Chatas. Tam Ki Iker is being learned from Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta, the Psukim of Nazir. That is how everything lays out, both for the Sheet of the Chachamim and for the Sheet of Rabbi Kiva. One more postscript to the entire discussion as we continue in the Gemara. Amrle Rav Asher le Rav Kahana Elahad Tanya. What about the Braisa? Mikol Asher Yasa Migefen Ayam Mechatzanim VeAdzag. The Nazir is not allowed to eat any part of the grape, not the seed, not the skin. Limed Ali Suri Nazir Shemistarfim Zaim Zeh. So if a Nazir, were to eat the skins and the seeds, so they're going to combine one with the other in order to get me to the requisite shear, in order to get me to Isser and Malkus. So the Gemara says, Hashla Rabbi Akiva, Isser v'Heter Mitzarfin, Isser v'Isser Mibaye. So the Gemara says, now according to Rabbi Akiva, so Heter Mitzarfin Isser, which means that what combines to get me the shear? Even if I'm eating Heter and Isser, that gets me to the requisite shear. It should be at this point in time an absolute no-brainer that if I have Isser and Isser, that for sure should get me to the shear. Why does Rabbi Akiva have to make this point, which for Rabbi Akiva seems to be such an obvious point, an unnecessary point? So Amrle Isser v'Heter Bevas Isser v'Isser. Sorry, Amrle Isser v'Heter Bevas Achas Isser v'Isser Bezachar Zeh. So the Gemara's response is that for Rabbi Kiva, there's still going to be a qualitative difference between the combination of Isser v'Isser versus the combination of Isser v'Heter. When it comes to the combination of Isser v'Heter, so in order for that to combine to get me to the shear, that has to be done Bevas Achas. The two foods have to be eaten simultaneously. Again, just to reiterate Rashi does not feel that they have to be mixed together for Heter Mitzarif Leisur, but they do have to be eaten at the same time. When it comes to Isser v'Isser, so there, because they're both Isser, the skins and the seeds, because they're both Isser, so you do not need simultaneous eating. Even if I had sequential eating, that's going to be sufficient in order to get to the requisite shear. Okay, so that's the substantive difference between Isser v'Isser and Isser v'Heter according to the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Good, that kind of takes us to the end of what is really fundamental points of the Gemara regarding various Tarovis, principles of Heter Mitzarif Leisur, principles of Tam Ki Iker, and also, as we learned in yesterday's Daf, the principle of Kezayis Bechdei Achilas Pras. Why did that no longer become part of the Gemara's discussion for the balance of the sugya, for the beginning of today's daf? The answer is very simple, because we don't have a source for that. That's just simply a halach l'moshe m'sinai. Rashi made that point yesterday. That's why in the back and forth between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, it simply does not take a role in terms of how to balance the psukim and the drushas, because there are no psukim and there is no drusha for eating a kezayis bichdei achilas pras. We are now in the Mishnah Mem Hamad Aleph. We're continuing here in this third perek. This would now be the second Mishnah that we're covering, right? The first Mishnah talks about the Tarovis of Chametz and the Chametz Nuksha, the inedible Chametz, where if you were to eat either one of them, you would be subject to the Lav, just simply not the Kares. These are inferior Chametzes on Pesach, but inferior just simply means that it is not going to carry with it the Kares penalty, but it's still a Lav in the Torah to eat it. And according to Rashi, as he presents in the beginning of the third perek, there also would be an issur for ownership of these inferior quality chametzes. That is Shitas Rashi. I emphasized that already a number of times. Let's remind each other that Tosfos does not agree. Tosfos, specifically his grandson, Rabbi Natam, is of the position that that they are not subject to Bal Yorah Bal Yamatzeh. They're only subject to the Isser of Achila, not by Rabbi Yamase. You will find that, Rabbi Natam, in the first Tosos of our Perek. Continuing in the Mishnah, we're going to talk about other pieces of Chametz that may not need to be removed from and destroyed for Pesach. Basik shebistika areva. We're talking about a bowl that's used for kneading, kneading with a K. And let's assume the bowl is made up of earthenware. Anyway, there are cracks and crevices in the bowl. And so you put a little bit of filler in order to fill those cracks and fill those holes. And what do you use as a filler? So you use a dough. So what the commission now is going to be describing is there ever a point in time where Pesach comes around and I'm going to need to destroy that dough? So the Mishnah is going to tell us, depends. Im yesh kezayis b'makom echad chayiv levayer. V'im lav bato b'mi'uto. So if you have a kezayis of the dough in one area, so then it needs to be destroyed. However, if you don't have a kezayis in one area, it does not need to be destroyed. And we're going to say the same thing regarding the world of Tumah Tahara. Im makbid alav chotzeitz, v'im rotz b'kiyum ha'rei hu ka'areva. If you are makbid on it, if it's particular to you, if you're interested in it, so then it serves as a chatzitza. However, rotz b'kiyumo, if you want it to stay there forever as a permanent filler, so it's part and parcel now of the pot, of this bowl. Okay, that second part of the Mishnah regarding Tumah and rotz b'kiyumo, we're going to explain that in tomorrow's daf. So right now, take the second half of the Mishnah. We really didn't explain it well. Put that on the back burner. We're going to be focusing on, for the remainder of today, the first half of the Mishnah. In the first half of the Mishnah, we're talking about the requirement, the need, to remove dough that was used as a filler for my bowl, to fill in the cracks and crevices of the bowl. And the Mishnah says that if there's a kezias of the dough, so then it does, in fact, need to be removed for Pesach. If, however, it's less than a kezias, so you would be fine, you could just simply leave it there. So the Gemara now is going to qualify our Mishnah. There are going to be two versions of how to qualify the Mishnah. These two versions are not going to be in agreement with one another. We're also going to be quoting Brisa supporting these two versions of how to qualify our Mishnah. Let's begin. Right now what we're going to do is we're going to take the bowl and we're going to divide it into two different areas. The two areas of the bowl are going to be the bottom of the bowl and basically the remaining section of the bowl. The bottom of the bowl obviously is the most critical part of the bowl. If the bottom of the bowl has any holes in it, it is a totally dysfunctional bowl. So if I take dough and put it in a crack that's in the bottom of the bowl, so that for sure is something where I plan on leaving it there indefinitely. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, lo shanu la b'makom she'en asum l'chazek. So our Mishnah is only describing the area, not the bottom of the bowl, but the remaining part of the bowl, the sides of the bowl. Aval b'makom she'en asum l'chazek enu chayv l'var mech, I'm sorry, enu chayv l'var. However, if the crack is on the bottom of the bowl and I'm filling it in with dough, with chametz dough, but it's on the bottom of the bowl. So under those circumstances, it's always considered part and parcel of the bowl and never needs to be removed. Now, the implication, the Gemara Rashi says that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel didn't make the next point, but the Gemara is assuming that this is what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel means, and that is Mechlal, de pachos mechazayis afilu b'makom she'en asum lechazik, einu chayav levayir. Here's what comes out now from this qualification, right? A really important, or I should say better, two important points over here. That, and number one, if I have a filler dough that is used for the bottom of the bowl, because that area now is such an important area, such an integral part of the bowl, even if I fill it in with a kezias of dough, because I plan on leaving it there, so therefore now it becomes part and parcel of the bowl. I.e., that dough now becomes batel, even though it's greater than a kezias. That's point number one. Point number two is that if I'm filling an area of the bowl that's not as integral, right, the sides of the bowl, so there, if I have a kezias, it needs to be removed, but if it's less than a kezias, it does not even need to be removed. That are the two important points that come out from our first version of how to qualify the Mishnah. Now, igad amasni la seifa. Now, there's a second version of how to qualify the Mishnah. So if you can remember everything I just said, good. Now forget it. Because now we're going to have a second way to understand the Mishnah. And here it's going to come out a little bit differently. The imlav belto bimiuto. So on the Mishnah's point where, if it is less than a kezayis, so now it becomes batel. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Lo shanu ela b'makom asur lechazik. That's only talking about the bottom of the bowl. B'makom she'en asur lechazik, chayiv levayir. So here in the second version, here's how it comes out. That if I am using the dough as filler for cracks in the bowl, and I'm using it in the bottom of the bowl, so then I can keep it there, provided that it's less than a kezayis. But if it's greater than a kezayis, even on the bottom of the bowl, I have to remove it. On the side of the bowl, so then I have to remove everything under all circumstances. Mechlal, the Gemara just spells this out. The kezayis afilu b'makom asur lechazik chayv levayer, that if I have a kezayis on the bottom of the bowl, that needs to be removed, that needs to be destroyed. And if it's on the sides of the bowl, it always needs to be destroyed, whether it is a kezayis or whether it's even less than a kezayis. Obviously, the second version, the second qualification, comes out to be much more machmir than the first qualification. Let's highlight the basic difference between the first and second qualification. There really are two differences. One is that in the first version, so you can be mevatel chametz in of itself, even if it's a kezayis or greater. Meaning if I'm taking the dough and putting it on the bottom of the bowl, so now it's such an integral part of the bowl and becomes part and parcel of the bowl, so I can be mevatel the actual dough itself. You're going to have to say, the Gemara doesn't make this point, that it no longer expels any kind of taste into whatever you're kneading in that bowl, right? Because if it expels the taste into that which you're kneading into the bowl, so then obviously we're going to have chametz issues on Pesach. But the point is, we're just focusing on the dough itself that's being used as filler. In version number one, even at a kezayis, I can be mevatel it, whereas in version number two, you cannot be mevatel any dough size that is the size of a kezayis, regardless of where you decide you want to use it or how you want to use it. That's difference number one. Difference number two is that if it's less than a kezayis and it's not an integral part of the bowl, so in version number one, anything less than a kezayis, you could just simply be mevatel. Where in version number two, no. If it's not an integral part of the bowl and it's less than a kezayis, that needs to be removed. Those are your two basic differences between version number one, version number two. And Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. The Gemara now is going to be quoting brisas supporting both of these versions. Tanya Kalishna Kama, so here a brisa supporting the first version. Basak Shib is Dika Areva, but Makam Asur Lechazik Eno Chotzitz Ve'Eno Over. Over Makam She'in Asur Lechazik, Chotzitz Ve'Over. So here the brisa tells us that, we're going to divide the bowl into two parts. The bottom of the bowl, the integral part of the bowl, and the sides of the bowl, which obviously still are important, but not as integral. So over here on the bottom of the bowl becomes bato, and the sides of the bowl does not become bato. Bamed var mamurim b'kezayis, ava b'pachus mikezayis, afilo b'melkum she'in asur lechazik, eno chotzeitz ve'eno over. And then it makes a difference whether it's a kezayis or it's not a kezayis, meaning a kezayis on the bottom of the bowl. So that becomes bato. Kezayis on the side of the bowl does not become bato. And if it's less than a kezayis, on the bottom of the bowl, for sure it's going to become bato. On the sides of the bowls, you can keep it there as well. Anyway, this brisa goes like the first version of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, clearly. And Tanya Kalishna Basra, now we're going to have a brisa going like the second version of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. And that is, Basak Shebistike Areva, Bemakam Asur Lechazik, if I have dough that are filling in the cracks of the bowl, and it's in the area Asur Lechazik, an integral part of the bowl, ain't a chotzeitz ve'ain't over, b'makom she'ain't asur lechazek chotzeitz va'over. So here, once again, a distinction to be made in terms of where in the bowl it's filling the cracks. Now, b'medvar mamorim, when is that true? B'pachos mikezayis, if it's less than a kezayis. Ava b'kezayis, but if the dough size is a kezayis, afil b'makom asur lechazek chotzeitz ve'over. Even if it is an integral part of the bowl, i.e. the bottom of the bowl, it's going to be a chatzitza. You're going to be in violation of Bal Yura Bal Yematzei. It needs to be destroyed. This price is telling us that a kezayis of chametz, even at an integral part of the bowl, the bottom of the bowl, needs to be removed, needs to be destroyed. This is going like version number two, not like version number one. Okay, so we have brisas supporting each of these versions. Kashin Ahadade. Gemara makes an obvious point, which is these brisas don't agree with one another. Again, we highlighted already the differences, the fundamental differences between the two versions, and basically it's the same differences now between these two brisas, and obviously they're not in agreement with one another. What are we going to do about that? Amar Rav Huna, Sami Kilta Mikami Chamirta. So Rav Huna's solution is simple, although dismissive. And that is, we're gonna have to dismiss one of these brisas. One of these brisas is not authoritative, and so what we're gonna do is that we're gonna assume the more stricter position. That's brisa number two over brisa number one. Okay, and that means now that according to Rav Huna, the conclusion is gonna be that a dough that's used as filler, if it's the size of a kezayis, it is simply not subject to bittel. It's never subject to bittel. That always needs to be removed, even on the bottom of the bowl. If, however, it is less than the kezayis, on the bottom of the bowl, you could be mevatel it. On the side of the bowl, it needs to be removed. That is Rav Huna's conclusion. We're just going to accept the second brisa and dismiss the first brisa. That's all solution number one. Rav Yosef is going to come up with a second solution. Rav Yosef Omer Tanai Shakalta Me'ama Tanaihi. Well, you're just collecting a bunch of braces together and not synthesizing. So over here, Rav Yosef says, look, here's what we could do. Now, we're not really going to synthesize. We're not going to take these two disparate braces and put them together, according to Rav Yosef. But rather, what Rav Yosef is just going to simply highlight is that we know it's a machlokas tanayim. So we're not going to dismiss one of the braces. We're simply going to understand that it's a machlokas, a detanya. And how do I know it's a machlokas? Because Rav Yosef introduces us to another braisa. Hapasha ifsha. Let's say you have bread and it starts to get moldy. Chayev levayer, you still have to destroy that bread for Pesach. Mimnei, shirai l'shocho ulechamea bo kama isos acheros. Because here's what you could do. What you could do is you can grind it down, and now this spoiled dough can serve as a sourdough in order to be mechametz other doughs. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer b'amedz v'amorim b'miku yemes la'achila. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, yeah, that's true. If you do plan on eating that spoiled dough, aval kofa, aval kupa se'or shiyachta li'yeshiva batla. But let's say it's a pile of dough, and right now I have no plans on eating it anymore. In fact, we're going to repurpose it. It's going to be used as some sort of cushion, some sort of chair. So then, under those circumstances, now you're being mevatel it. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you could take a dough, and you could be mevatel it. You can repurpose it as a non-eating entity, non-eaten entity, and therefore you can let it hang around on Pesach. This is the idea, the concept of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and now the Gemara makes its observation. Mida amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, batla mechal da Tanakam asavar lo batla. So clearly over here, there is a debate between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And what's at the core of the debate is, if I have dough, can you repurpose it? The Tanakam would say no, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say yes. Amar kasavar, kol kazayis havagav de mevata le lo batla. Now what comes out over here is that according to the Tanakama, dough cannot be repurposed, it cannot be reassigned. Once a dough, always a dough. And when it's the size of a kezias, it's not eligible for bittul. Bittul in this case means to repurpose it for a non-consuming purpose. And the Tanakama says it can't be done, and Rav Shimon ben Elazar says it can be done. And now, Rav Yosef is arguing, that's the difference between the two Tanayim. The Tana that says that when the dough is used as a crack filler for the bottom of the bowl, and even when it's the size of a kezias, it's repurposable. So that goes now and reflects the viewpoint of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And the second braisa that says that if it's the size of a kezias, you cannot repurpose it, so that's going to go like the view of the Tanakama. So Rav Yosef says, Machlokas Tanayim. So Amarle Abaye Taratza Bekazais Pachos Mikazais Mitaratza. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, look, you did an outstanding job, but it's incomplete. Because all you did was explain the first difference between Braisa number one and Braisa number two. Right? Remember when we laid out the two versions of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel and the two Braisas, we pointed out that there really are two different points that they're arguing about. Point number one is what we just went over, is that when I have a kezias of dough, so can I repurpose it? That's bittul in this context. So Rav Shimon Elazar says yes, and the Tanakama says no, and Abaye says to Rav Yosef, that's really good. So you did a good job highlighting now the differences regarding the ability to repurpose a kezias of dough. But there is, however, a second point of distinction, and that is, what if I have less than a kezias? Do I need to remove that? Do I need to get rid of that for Pesach? That's another difference between the two braises. And Abaye says to Rav Yosef, what your answer does not do is it doesn't account for that point of difference between the two braises. So the Abaye gives Rav Yosef a grade of incomplete, because his answer is good, but only highlighting the differences between bittul versus non-bittul, but not explaining what if it's less than a kezias. So Ella Havaha Rav Shimon ben Elazar hi velo kasha. So now what Abaye is going to do is the following, is that he's going to address the differences between the two braises, and Abaye now is going to synthesize. He will actually make a distinction between the two braises that are going to now be able to synthesize the two braises together. Starting point is that we're going to assume that the two braises are in fact agreement with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. We just learned together that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, you can be mevatel chametz, even a kezias worth of chametz. If you're going to repurpose it, right? That dough we're no longer going to eat. We're going to use now as a seat cushion. Good. So that can get repurposed. That dough is no longer going to be eaten. It's just simply there as filler for a crack in a bowl. Good. So, and according to Rosh Hashanah and Elazar, that can be done even by kazayis. So how are we going to now make sense of the two brises, which seem to be disparate one against the other? So what Abai is going to do is he's going to do the following, and let me just say this outside first, and then we'll see it inside. The bowl we divide into two sections. We talked about the bottom of the bowl and the sides of the bowl. The bottom of the bowl is the most integral part of the bowl. The sides of the bowl are not as integral. Good. What we're going to do now for Abai is that we're going to divide the bowl into three sections. We're going to talk about the bottom of the bowl, which is the most integral. We're going to be talking about the sides of the bowl, that when I end up kneading the dough, the sides of the bowl become critical as well. And then we're going to be talking about the area of the bowl that's above, meaning that even as I'm kneading the dough, there's still going to be a little portion of the bowl, the very top of the bowl, that really does not have a functional purpose to it. And now, here's what we're going to say, is that the halacha is going to be different for the three sections, zones numbers 1, 2, and 3, right? And just for our purposes today, we'll describe zone number 1 as the bottom, zone number 2 is the bottom sides, and zone number 3 is being the top of the sides. And with all that stated now, here's how we're going to say it. Amalei Abai Tarasta Bechazayis Pachos Mechazayis Mitarasta Elaha V'ha Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar He. So both prices are going like Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar V'lokasha. Ha B'makom Lisha Ha Shalom B'makom Lisha. So now we're going to take the sides of the bowl and divide it into the Makom Lisha, that's zone number 2, and Shalom B'makom Lisha, that's zone number 3. And here's what we're going to say. And we could spend a lot of time with Rashi over here, who works with the language of the Brises and fits everything in into the language of the Brisa. And I encourage you on your own to go through the Rashis, where Rashi does it all. But I'm just going to say it outside, and I'm going to say it succinctly and hopefully organized. And that is that if the crack is on the bottom of the bowl, right, zone number 1, and there I'm filling it with dough, so there I'm repurposing the dough. And even at the size of a kezias, I can repurpose it on the bottom, and therefore it does not need to be removed for Pesach. It has now been repurposed. Mivutal. Good. Now let's talk about the sides of the bowl. In the sides of the bowl, so there, within the sides of the bowl, that is, it's not integral, but it's certainly important. And so therefore, if the dough is a kezias worth, it needs to be removed. If it's less than a kezias, you can keep it there. And then now at the top of the bowl, the top of the sides, zone number 3, there where there literally is no need to fill in any of the cracks in that area, so any dough you put in there, whether it be a kezias or even less than a kezias, that needs to be removed. Good. Now you're going to take those three zones, you're going to take those three halachas that we just learned, and you're able to plug it into the two brises. And again, I'm going to encourage you, because Rashi does all the hard work, where Rashi goes now through the two brises and explains how it is that these three halachas now can be plugged into the two brises. And so therefore, what we really have now is a synthesis of the two brises. The Gemara over here just makes a very detailed point within this answer that was just laid out by Abaye. Amar Rav Ashi, we are as the wides are line, we're 5 lines down. Amar Rav Ashi, lo tema shalom b'makom lisha, agava da agna. Don't say that the shalom b'makom lisha, the zone area number 3, is the outside of the bowl. Ela a sifta da agna. So, but we can even be talking about the interior of the bowl towards the very top of the bowl. Now, I know that's the way I presented it. Rav Ashi wants to make sure that we're clear about that. Pshita, the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious? Ma'od tema zimna da'atif umati lahasam kamash malan. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so pashut, because when you're kneading the dough, even though you can draw a line in terms of where the dough normally goes up to on the side and doesn't go higher, but there are times where it could go a little bit higher, and one might have thought that the entire interior of the bowl, even in the zone 3, you might have thought that that would be an area that is important. Not integral, but important. That's what I might have thought. Kamash malan. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav Alachika Rav Shimon and Elazar. Okay, so Rav Nachman quotes in the name of Rav that the Alachika fact follows like Rav Shimon and Elazar, right? Which is a really critical point, meaning that according to Rav Shimon and Elazar, dough can be repurposed. If, in fact, you repurpose dough, so now what you could do is you could take the dough and you can keep around for Pesach as long as you repurpose it. Like the examples that we gave, taking a dough and using it as a chair, repurposing it as a chair, or taking the dough and using it as filler for a crack in a bowl, even if it's larger than kazayas. So the Gemara says, now, are you correct about this? Ini, v'amar Rav Nachman bar Ashi, amar Rav, im tach paneh betit bala, im tach paneh betit bala. So here we have another statement said in the name of Rav. This is not done by Rav Nachman. This is done by a different Rav Nachman. But anyway, but in this halachic psak, the only time that the dough is negated is only if you put another lining over the dough. Then and only then is the dough going to be negated and mevutal. Otherwise, the dough has to be removed. So, and the Gemara notes, tach in, lo tach lo. So, man de masniha, lo masniha. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? You're right. Meaning, Rav Nachman, who quotes Rav as saying that the halacha falls to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, is not going to subscribe to this second version, the second halacha of imtach paneha. So the two are just simply not going to be in agreement one with the other. Okay, that's simply what you're going to have to say. Igadami, now, in another version of this back and forth, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, in halacha, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashi, Amar Rav, imtach paneh betit, batla v'chulei. So here in the second version, so Rav Nachman's psak of Rav is that the halacha does not follow like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Good. And now that totally corroborates what we've heard otherwise from Rav, and that is that the dough only becomes mevutal only if you put an interior lining over the dough. Okay, so now we are in agreement in the second version. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Okay, so what do we have right now? So a lengthy discussion about whether or not dough that's used as filler for cracks in a bowl, whether that can be mevutal, and we have a lot to process. Gemara is going to give us just a little bit more to think about in the course of today's daf. The Gemara quotes the B'Shem Shmuel. Shnei chatzai zeisim v'chod shel basek b'neihem. Let's say I have two half zeisim, and I do have it, there being some connective dough connecting these two. Now each one of them is less than a kazayis, but it's connected by a strand of dough. So ro'en kol she'ilo yinata l'achut v'nitalim imo chayiv l'vayr v'im lav v'ino chayiv l'vayr. So how do I know now that the strand of dough is going to be connective? If I'm able to pull on the strand and both pieces are going to come together with the strand, so that is considered the connective tissue, where these two half kazesim now are in fact considered connected, and therefore it has to be removed for Pesach. Amar ulalo amar ela ba'areva. This idea is true if the doughs are in a bowl. Ava bebayis chayv l'vayir. Oddly enough, if the two half kazesim of dough are found in a house, so even if they're not touching, even if there's no connective strands connecting the two, you must get rid of them. Now that's a little bit strange. You would think that if these two half kazesim of dough in a house, that's a larger area. There we could certainly say that there's no need to get rid of it. So the Gemara says, but in a house you do need to get rid of it. Why? The Gemara explains, my taima de zimnin de kanish lehu v'nafle gabe hadade. Because what could very well happen is that in a house you're going to sweep the house, and basically what you're going to do is you're going to combine those two half kazesim. Amar ulabama marava. So in Eretz Yisrael, they had a lot of follow-up questions. Number one, bais va'aliyah mahu. Let's say the two of half kazesim are in a house. One's on the first floor, one's on the second floor. Are we worried about those combining? Bais va'achsadra mahu. What if, let's say, the half kazais is in a house, and the house and the other half kazais is in some sort of porch outside the house? Are we worried there? Shnei bat mzulif nimizu. What if I have two houses where I have an exterior and an interior? In Erevin, we did a lot of these types of units where it was an interior and exterior house. What if I have a half kazais in the interior, a half kazais in the exterior, mau teku the Gemara, and all of these follow-up questions simply says, I don't know. Tanu Rabbanan, just finishing up to the two dots. Hapashi yifshav nifsal ha-melechol la-adam va-akelav yachol le-ochla. I have bread that spoils and no longer consumable by a person, but a dog can still eat it. So it's metame tumas ochlin. It's still subject to tumas ochlin, eligible to become tame as a food, meaning it still qualifies as a status of ochel, bechabetza, assuming, of course, that you have the shear of a kabetza, and v'nisrafa im atmei bepesach. And you have to burn it before Pesach, meaning it's still an ochel vis-a-vis the requirement to destroy it before Pesach. Mishum Rabbi Nassan Omer, eino mitama. Now Rabbi Nassan says that if it's no longer edible by a dog, so then it is no longer considered an ochel, not subject to tumas ochlin. So kaman azlah hadidnan, the Gemara says, okay, what about the Mishnah in Taharos? The Mishnah in Taharos over here gives us a big rule, klal amru b'taharos, and that is kolam yuchel ochel adam tame ashe paso mele'echol lekalev. So the Mishnah Taharos tells us that a food will have the status of the food, even when it's no longer consumable by humans, but as long as it's consumable by a dog, it's still considered an ochel. So, command the local Rabbi Nassan. Okay, so, I'll tell you who does not subscribe to that Mishnah Taharos. It's not Rabbi Nassan. Tanu Rabbanan. One more brisa for today. Areva hav danim shenasan lesochel kemach. So, let's say I have a bowl used by the tanners. Now, the bowls used by a tanner, as the Gemara often points out, that the tanner's equipment does not smell good at all. And so I have the bowl used by the tanner, by the leather tanner, and we throw some flour in there. So toch shoshiyamim chayv levayr, kodim shoshiyamim eno chayv levayr. So if it's already been 3 days before Pesach, so at that point in time, the flour is so is going to be so spoiled and so inedible, rendered inedible, you don't need to destroy for Pesach. However, within 3 days, so it's not enough time for the flour to become pasul, and so therefore it needs to be destroyed. I'm Rabbi Nassan Bemed, V'amamorim Shalara Salasocha Olros. So Rabbi Nassan says, yeah, that's true, but that's only when you didn't put the hides in as of yet. Aval Nassan Lasocha Olros, but if you put the hides in, I feel the Toch Shlosha in Chayiv Levayr. There's no need to destroy, because once you put the flour and immediately following the hides in, so the hides are going to render the flowers totally inedible immediately. Now, when we say immediately, what do we mean by that? So, I'm a Rav Halachik Rabbi Nassan. So, first the Gemara says, the Halacha falls like Rabbi Nassan over here, afilu yom echad, v'afilu sha'achas. Just a moment together, where the flour and the hides are put together, that will render the flour inedible, and so therefore there is no need to remove it for Pesach. Okay. I kind of takes us to the end of the daf today. Let's recap. The first half of today's daf, which I'm just going to say briefly, not even in summary, is going to be a review of the points of Heter Mitzarif Leser and Tam Ke'ikar, and where does Rabbi Kiva stand on it, and where the Chachamim stand on it, and how come they don't darshan it in the same manner. All that was part one of today's daf. Okay, that, again, it would take a long time to review. We reviewed already a couple times this morning. We reviewed it yesterday. Good. That the conclusion of that discussion. Then the second half of today's daf, which really starts in the Mishnah Memhei Amud Aleph, talks about, can I take a piece of dough and repurpose it so that I no longer need to get rid of it on Pesach? Meaning the Isser Bal Yerah Bal Yematzah is only for dough that is meant to be consumed. But if I don't mean to consume it, I'm going to repurpose it, so do I need to get rid of it? For example, there's a bowl, there's a crack in the bowl, I'm using dough now as filler for that crack, do I need to get rid of it? So the Mishnah talks about a distinction to be made in terms of whether there's kezayis b'makom echad or there is not a kezayis of the dough b'makom echad. Within our Mishnah, there was a second part of the Mishnah as well, but we're going to come back to that tomorrow. In our Mishnah, there are two ways to understand and qualify our Mishnah. Those were the two statements of Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. And within those two statements, they are not in agreement with one another. And we have two brises representing the two versions of Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. And what the Gemara tries to do is make sense of the two brises. There are basically three approaches of how to do that. And this takes us to the Amud Beis. Number one is Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that we're going to have to just simply choose a brisa. We're going to choose the one that's more chamor. According to Rav Huna, conclusion would be that when I have a kezias of dough, so then it is not eligible for bittul, that needs to be removed, even when it's filling the bottom of the bowl. And when it is on the sides of the bowl, it has to be removed under all circumstances, even if it's less than a kezias. That is Rav Huna's conclusion. Rav Yosef says that's a machlokes tanayim. And then there was the sheet of Abaye. And what the sheet of Abaye is that the two brises are really reflecting the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. As we learned in today's daf, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so chametz can be repurposed. Meaning if we're going to take chametz and use it for a non-consuming purpose, like making it a cushion to sit on, or using it as filler for a bowl, even if it's a kezayis, you can be mevatel it. That is Shitas Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Now, as far as now synthesizing the two brises, we're going to actually take the bowl and give it three different zones. The bottom, the most integral. The sides towards the bottom, important. And the sides above that point, so really not integral. On the bottom, if dough is on the bottom of the bowl, So there, like Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, so you could repurpose it, you could be mevatel it, even at a kazayas. By the sides, in zone number two, so if it's less than a kazayas, you can keep it there, but once it's a kazayas, you must get rid of it, you must remove it. And then on the sides of the bowl, above the area where I need the dough, so there, you got to get rid of all your chametz, even if it's less than a kazayas, that needs to get removed. That is Abai's understanding of the two brises. Then we covered a couple more points in today's daf. The statement of where does Rav stand in terms of the halacha? Does he subscribe to Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Does he not subscribe to Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Two versions of how to say over Rav. Then we talked out the halacha that two half kazesim are going to be mistarif when they are in a bowl and they are connected by a strand of dough. And what is the definition of connection? We went over that. However, if our two half kazesim are not connected, so then you don't have to get rid of them. Okay. If this same scenario were true in a house, you got to get rid of the two half kazesim, even if they're not connected by a strand of dough. Why? Because in a house, you can sweep it and you're going to aggregate them together in order to get to the shear of a kazayas. The Gemara finishes up this morning with a discussion regarding when you have chametz that was edible, when does it become rendered inedible and no longer a chametz concern or consideration. For this we had the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan says that as long as the human cannot eat it, but even though it can be eaten by a dog, it is no longer considered chametz, and there's no requirement to get rid of it. However, the shita of the Chachamim of the Braisa is that even if it is nifsal me'achilas adam, but it can be eaten by a dog, that is still considered ochlin, and therefore, if it's chametz before Pesach, you need to get rid of it. If it's a food, it's still subject to tumas ochlin, as long as it's edible by a dog. And the halacha over here follows like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Nassan. We quoted a Mishnah in Taharos that totally corroborates the position of the Chachamim, not the Shita Rabbi Nassan. And finally, the last halacha that we went over today is that if I take flour and put it in the tanner's bowl, so because it's a disgusting area, it's a smelly area, so it will render it unfit. When? 3 days in. If you put the leather in, it renders it unfit immediately. Adkan.